This episode of Creepy Kingdom is being brought to you by artist Shaunine Joy. She creates incredible haunted mansion and Disney-inspired art over pages from classic literature. Her work is a must-have for every creepy Disney fan who's also a book lover. You can get 10% off of your entire purchase by using the coupon code CREEPY. Just go to ShauneneJoy.com. That's ShauneneJoy.com.
Monster Movie Media presents...
And welcome to episode 108 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, a podcast all about the spookiness of Disney and beyond. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And this is our 3-year anniversary show. And if you've been playing along at home, every anniversary show and the first episode of Creepy Kingdom is all about the one that started it all, Snow White. In this episode, we come up with ideas and concepts for a hard-ticketed event at a Disney park that's based upon Snow White. But there's a catch. It will be terrifying. I am here with the evil queen of the Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hello, loyal citizens of the Creepy Kingdom.
Hello, Roxy.
I like to imagine that the listeners say hi back to me. Like, I like to give that pause so that they can say hi back.
In a high-pitched voice like that. Hello, Roxy.
You don't know. Maybe they sound like that.
I don't. I know a few of our listeners don't sound like that because I've talked to them. But
I think it would be amazing if one of the times when we meet our listeners, one of them goes, hello, Roxy.
You guys can say that to me, too, if you want. Go, hello, Roxy Bull. This is another very special episode. We just had so many very special episodes this year. Wow, this is our 3-year anniversary episode.
Woo!
And for some reason, we decided to, on our anniversary shows, talk about Snow White.
Because that's what we do.
Right. That's what we started the show with. It's the one that started it all. It started Disney animated films, and it started this podcast. So, yeah, let's take a look back for a moment here. So, yeah, the first episode I did solo, went through Snow White, and I feel like it's actually unlistenable. Every time I listen to it, I'm like,
yeah,
my Lord.
I feel that way about my first podcast, too. So anytime I go back and listen to it, I'm like, oh, God.
Do you mean when you were a guest on the show? Or?
No. Like for Roxy's World. I like our first one. It makes me nostalgic because that's the night we met. Yeah. But no, I understand what you're saying about it being unlistenable because it was so long ago and you've come so far. And now you're like, ooh, really?
Yeah, there's lots of weird things about it. I mean, it wasn't my first podcast ever done. I've been podcasting for years, but it's weird talking to yourself. That's very unnatural. Like, you know, sitting here just chatting, that's just, you know, you know, two pals chatting and then recording it, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, so it's, it sounds natural, but, it just, I don't know, but a year after that, but actually before we move ahead, I would say that I feel like maybe next time we revisit Snow White, we actually want to go back and actually talk about the movie, since we can have more of a round table discussion about it instead of me talking by myself.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, I could totally have a roundtable discussion about Snow White by myself. That would
maybe that's what it should be. Maybe it should just be you.
I don't know if anyone else would be as entertained as I would be. So,
well, everyone could chime in for 4-year anniversary.
There we go.
We'll be Roxy talking to herself about Snow White.
I've been talking about the movie again. It's a good idea. Although it might be cool if we could do it for like the 5th year anniversary. You know, that nice round. Like,
well, what are we going to do next year?
I don't know. We have a whole year to think of it.
All right, fine. Before we jump to that. and then this next one was a little easier for us to do. It was a lot more fun than what happened on our the 1-year anniversary, which is we talked about Snow White's Scary Adventures, History of the Attraction, and both parks. All of the parks, I guess, because it was all of the parks, Tokyo and Paris as well. And then we went on a little ride together.
That was the best. That was totally the best. Since that moment happened, as far as I'm concerned, that's our ride.
Yes, it's true. I can't go on that ride without recalling that ride that we recorded. I probably at some point when I ride Snow White Scary Adventures, I'm reminded of something that happened during that ride.
Yep.
So it is an incredible ride. It's still incredibly short.
Right, it's just too short.
Because I feel like as soon as you're like, all right, I'm in it. Let's, you know, now I'm in the zone. You know, it's over.
Over.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. It's done. They lived happily ever after. They're like, oh, fine.
I'm like, I'm not quite sure how they did since we just died by having a boulder thrown on us.
Out of the thing. And it's true. Like, the boulder is falling on the witch, but really it's like the boulder is falling on you. So, like, you just got crushed by a giant boulder, and the next thing you know, Snow White and Prince Charming are living happily ever after. Well, great for them, but you just got crushed by a boulder.
Well, maybe that's what it is that Snow White and Prince Charming's life is better without us.
Now, see? That's dark.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
So who designed this ride?
Well, I mean, we'll have to go back into it, listen to that. But, I mean, originally the ride was supposed to be, you were supposed to be Snow White. So it was just.
Which still doesn't make sense if a boulder falls on you at the end.
Yeah, they still killed Snow White at the end of this, huh?
I'm just saying. But that was our 1-year anniversary show, was Snow White's Scary Adventures.
Yeah, and then 2 years we talked about the dark origins of Snow White, comparing the Disney animated film, which is already pretty dark as it is, to the original source material.
Yep, that was fun. That was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a very popular show, and which led to us doing Little Mermaid, and we've gotten several requests to do pretty much all of the films. So we should probably get back on that.
We should do that. Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, we love all that stuff, of course. I mean, that's right up our alley.
Can we do Cinderella next?
Cinderella, huh?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes!
You got it.
You heard it here first.
I don't think that's one that we've gotten requested, in all honesty.
Well, I'm requesting it.
And I don't think I know anything about the original, so in my mind... Yeah, in my mind, Cinderella is solely a Disney entity, so that should be.
Well, besides, cool. Okay, we're gonna do that, folks.
All right, look forward to that sometime. So, for our 3-year anniversary, I came up with a kind of an interesting concept, and it's kind of hard to explain. But basically, the concept.
You're gonna have to try.
I guess that's what I'm here to do. I'm like, I can't really explain it, so I don't know. So you'll figure it out. No, we want to come up with I keep saying Halloween because that's the reference point. Because you know, all the other amusement parks put on these temporary Halloween events or what's your walkthrough attractions, haunted houses, if you will, and. You know, I've mentioned several times in the show, I wish Disney would do something similar, even if it's not so scary, no pun intended. But just to have these temporary, elaborately themed walkthrough attractions based on Disney property with the magic that the Imagineering could provide. It could be absolutely amazing. You know.
Okay. So you're talking like a walkthrough.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is another one of those shows, you guys, those of you that listen, you know that we do this a lot where I find out what we're going to talk about right before the show. So I have no time to prepare. I thought that you wanted to do like they do the Halloween party and the Christmas party.
Yeah.
Like, but Snow White themed and like, you wanted to talk about like doing the park Snow White themed and like how we can make it scary and stuff. This seems so much easier now. Okay.
Wait. I got to take a step back. So what I said was that this event would be a hard ticket event. Like it wouldn't be part of the regular, like Halloween Horror Nights and Not Scary.
Yeah.
You know, but I wasn't talking about changing Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party into a Snow White theme.
That's what I was thinking. And I was like, ooh, this is going to get fun and confusing and long. I need some draft paper. And
well, I mean, in all honesty, they don't really change too much for the parties. I mean, they kind of have, I don't know. I don't even know where we'd go down that road. That would be like completely coming up with stuff from scratch.
Yeah. But okay. So we're talking like a hard ticket, like Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Event, like the Walking Dead event that they do, where it's you go in, you walk through, it's one theme, you see all the stuff, and it's like a haunted house, but
right.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily talking about having scare actors in there because you can, but I'm just saying. I want this to exist so badly, and I feel like one of the original thoughts I even had for doing this is getting to go to the dungeon, the Evil Queen's dungeon. I mean, that obviously we ride through it a little bit on Snow White's Scary Adventures, but I feel like we need to do some exploring in there.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
So
okay, so we're talking about like a haunted house type walkthrough. And food stuff, right? You mentioned food. I'm on this podcast because you mentioned food.
And food, okay. Specialty food items. And this is not just one haunted, you know, house or maze. You know, like just say like the entire event is Snow White themed.
Cool.
So because they're like, you know what? We're just gonna go Snow White scary all out.
I love it.
So yeah, there's so many fun places to explore, for sure. So I guess I'll just start off with what I was talking about there. And, you know, it's the escape from the Queen's dungeon. You know.
Why do we have to escape from it?
Well, I mean, I guess that would keep you moving.
All right, fine. All right, you say your idea, and then I'll say my idea, and we'll go from there. Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, you have to be captured. I mean, it's a dungeon, right? So it's jail.
Okay.
Right. So, but I don't recall from the film, and correct me tell me if you do recall how we got into the dungeon. She just, if all I can remember, she was just there.
Yeah. I don't remember her actually, like, going into the dungeon.
But I totally remember how she left the dungeon, because that imagery was something that haunted me as a child. Because there was like this canal in the dungeon where she gets it. Just seeing that on the big screen, you know, like the
she gets in the boat.
Yeah,
and like it always kind of reminded me of like the River Styx kind of thing, like with the ferryman.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it's very, I mean, I don't know why that imagery stuck with me, but there's something kind of really eerie. I mean, the whole scene is eerie, but something about that, because there's a lot you can't see, because it seems like mm-hmm. there's fog, and I guess my imagination kind of was filling up the screen. So I think, let's enter the dungeon through these canal boats. So it actually will start off as a little bit of a ride.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it should be like a boat type ride, like Frozen, pirates, like that kind of stuff.
But yeah, but you got to get off.
But either like entering or exiting, like right. One of the two, like, I think it should be like that kind of thing. And it'd be cool if it was like you got on the boat, if it was like pirates, you know, and you got on the boat and you went through like the throne room type of thing.
Right.
And then you went and then there was a drop.
Wow.
You know? And then that's where the dungeon was, and then you got out and the boat went around and, you know, picked up the next group and like, but right. It'd be cool if you got in at the throne room and it went around and like maybe, I don't know, a curtain behind the throne or something like that, and it dropped like on pirates.
So we actually would be going down to the dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. There's those scenes in Snow White's Scary Adventures, but that whole like canal waterway system is totally absent. There's no
right.
The only thing, actually, no, it's not complete. It's absent from the dungeon, but you do see her in the boat.
Yes, and it's got the little tunnel-y.
So that's where she came out of. So there's a whole waterway system absent from Snow White's Scary Adventure. That we could actually get to experience.
All right. So we queue up in the courtyard of the castle, obviously. Mm. Right?
Yep.
And then we enter in, and it takes us into the throne room, where we get on a boat. We go through the throne room.
Right.
And then down into the dungeon.
Why are we going to the dungeon, though? We have to be, you know... We have to be, you know, summoned there, or we have to, you know, the queen has to be like, oh, you know, you're intruders, you've trespassed, or.
Oh, I guess so. See, I was thinking, you're thinking like you have to escape the dungeon, and I was thinking like, wouldn't it be cool if it was like kind of interactive, you know, like how they have like the Dumbo line. Now, and like in front of Snow White, when you put your hand on the apple,
right?
You know how it does stuff. Like, I was thinking it would be cool if it was like semi interactive. So, as you made your way, like when you got out, instead of it being like queued, like a lot of them are, like if you just got to kind of wander around the room and like mix different potions and stuff. I'm not like really mix different potions, right, but you know
right,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, I got
push
you.
The button and things happen, and you know, like the book. Like, say the book was there and you could go, you know, in a case and you could go over and, like, hit the button and the pages would turn and you could see the spells and, like...
Wow.
I guess I was thinking it more from the Evil Queen's point of view.
Yeah, so your perspective of this attraction is, like role-playing the life of the Evil Queen.
I guess so.
Which yeah, is... Not too scary from that perspective.
Yeah, no, my first thought, I mean, I've only had like three thoughts regarding this whole thing, but my first thought was also the dungeon. It, you know, it was totally the dungeon scene, but it was just because like Maleficent's dungeon is actually a dungeon, you know, she like keeps Philip there.
Yeah.
But the Evil Queen's dungeon, we don't actually see her hold anyone there prisoner. It's like her workshop.
It is a workshop, but there are the bones of skeletons. People that were trapped yeah. there. where's, you know, where she says, have a drink.
Yeah, but it's like, it's her workshop, you know, it's where she hangs out.
So
it's
what
like...
were the what were those people that have rotted away to Bodes doing in her workshop?
They were volunteers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they were servants in the castle who volunteered to help her with her craft. Okay, you can't just make poison apples like out of thin air. Like you got to practice that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So they volunteered. You know, those were the ones that the poison apples actually worked. And then
so they were getting, you know, like that's what you're saying.
Yeah, like the first one, she was like, hey, try this apple. And like they got sick to their stomach. And she was like, all right, that didn't work at all. And the next one, she was like, hey, try this apple. And they got like gout. And she was like, well, that didn't work at all. You know, so she had to like practice on it. And then those guys died. And she was like, oh, man, what do I do with them now? And then another servant like made her way down to the dungeon. And she was like, you're not supposed to be here. And then she was like, man, I really need something to keep people from coming down here if they accidentally find it.
Right.
So she took the dead people and she put them like in the thingies so that they would scare people who came down to the dungeon.
They're like scarecrows.
Yeah, duh.
or scare humans, I don't know.
Skeletons? Like skeletons? Skeletons?
Okay. All right.
Skelecrow? No, that doesn't work at all. All right. Anyways,
something
I'm sorry.
Like no, I know. We're going off tangent there. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to know the reality that you were building here. That's all. Because I always assumed they were prisoners. I never considered them to be anything else than that.
I mean, you could be right, too. But.
Well, it's. I don't recall from the film, but I clearly recall from the ride that there are skeletons like chained to the wall.
It's totally possible that those people are prisoners, and it's also totally possible that those people are kinky volunteers. And I mean, which one is more likely?
Kinky volunteers.
You don't know. Don't judge them.
For okay. The queen, the evil queen, who just happens to be into witchcraft. We never really challenged that idea, by the way. We just accept it right away. Just like,
yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
You're like, oh, I'm the queen. I'm the fairest in the land. Everything's great. Well, no, nothing's good. But there's a problem called Snow White. Time to go do some witchcraft.
Yeah, she had a magic mirror. I mean,
yeah, all right. Yeah, I got. Yeah, okay.
She's some kind of sorceress. Like, she has a magic mirror. Also, she's a total like biatch. And can I say that? It's not really swearing.
No, even if you change it to whatever the way you just pronounce that.
And she got the king to marry her. So, you know, she's not a nice person. And she got the king to marry her. So, obviously, there's some magic going on there. And then she murdered him, which they don't say, but it's just implied.
True.
Yeah. You
know, so you don't think that she was able to score the king, you know, with her own... charm. she had to put him on a spell or something, or
oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
We don't know anything about her, so like,
no, you know what you're saying makes sense. All right. So she's
I don't know if Fairest of them All is canon or not, so we can't bring that into it. Well, that would make a good show though.
With what?
Fairest of them All. We should do a show about it.
The book Fairest of them All,
the Disney book. Yeah,
what is this book you're talking about?
Oh, James,
is this okay. Like some like teenage young adult fiction? Yes. That I didn't read.
It's young adult fiction, and they sell it at Disneyland. It is a Disney book, and it's called Fairest of them All, and it's the story of the evil queen. It's her story.
I never heard of this. Fairest of them all. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, well, you got to get it. And if not, I'll send you a copy. I think I have two somehow.
You're like, every time you see her, you're like, ooh, I want that. Ooh, I already have
right?
it.
Right? Ooh, something else in the Evil Queen. Wait, I already own this. I've gotten 5 copies.
Wow.
Because people keep giving them to me because they see them and they're like, oh, Roxy loves the Evil Queen. She'll want this book. And then...
I have never heard of this book. It's only for sale at Disneyland?
I've only seen it at Disneyland. I bet you could get it on Amazon. I don't know. I've only seen it at Disneyland, though. I have only bought it at Disneyland.
Well, to be fair, that's where you do most of your shopping. So. Fairest of them all. A novel. What? No, this is something else, right? It says, what if Rapunzel was Snow White's evil stepmother?
No, that is not it. What the hell?
That's the first thing that came up. So.
Wow. Okay.
Well, all right. We're going to look into this
but
later.
Now I want to read that.
I don't think this is Disney themed either. We're getting way off topic here. So back to our haunt.
Hella.
All right, so you want to interactive. You want to mess around with the spell books. You want to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So once you do that, I'm going to go with you on this journey. So if you're okay. messing around with the spell book, essentially you are doing spells, right? So what spells are you doing and what's going to happen?
Okay, well, here we go. I have not gotten this far. I found the book. Ha ha ha. I'm going to send you the link. Okay. well, obviously, you're making a poison apple. That right. has to be it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, let's say that you can walk up to a thing that's got the book, right? And, you can, I don't know, you either wave your hand over it or you hit a button or something like that and the pages turn. I think it would be really cool if it was a projection and when you waved your hand over it, it opened and the pages turned and stuff. But then obviously there's not going to be a whole lot of pages that you can choose from, but you get to the poison apple spell.
Okay.
And then, so then there's gotta be some other kind of thing where there's an apple and maybe it's hanging and you dip it into the cauldron and it comes out looking different, you know, type of thing.
Wow. So this is like a personal one-on-one experience, because I don't really see this logistically working where every person in line gets to cast a spell, get an apple, dip it down.
I was thinking kind of you know Ursula's Grotto? Or like Beast's Library. Think about
yes.
Beast's Library.
Yes.
Ursula's Grotto over at DCA, right? Mm. So I was thinking kind of a cross between the interactive lines Dumbo and Haunted Mansion and whatnot, where when you just walk by things, you can touch them and they, you know, they do silly things.
Yeah.
And something like the Beast's Library or Ursula's Grotto or that kind of thing, where it's actually something that you get to interact with and do.
Right. So yeah, I think Beast's Library is probably a good example of what you're talking about, because there's no cue. You just walk into the room.
Yeah.
And there's just stuff to do. And you just kind of linger about.
You can look around, you can, you know, watch the fireplace go off, you can take pictures, you know, you could do the little book thing. And if there were let's say 4 different stations of things to do, right? One was the book, and one was the apple, and one was something else. And, you know, you just kind of gather around it and do it with your friends, and then you move on and another group comes and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be fun. I feel like that could be executed pretty well. But that can't be the main event of the attraction, right? That seems almost almost like a waiting area.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Totally. But what if that were like, I don't know. I wish I had thought about this some more. well, cause like if this, one of the scariest parts to me is the forest, you know,
of course,
when she's, yeah, when she's running through the forest and there's all the trees with the eyes and stuff. And that seems like it would be a really good, like, walk through creepy, you know, like, and especially if, like, the trees were, or some of them were animatronic and moved or, like.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, like, that actually, I was going to kind of elaborate on that as a separate attraction, but this could actually be one thing connected, right? So. So you, just to recap, you enter in the throne room, you get on the boat, brings you down to the dungeon, you mess around with some spells, and essentially at this point, you have to be, if you're living the queen's life here, you have to be, you have to transform, right? Into the witch, and you have to be off to off to kill Snow White, right?
Yep. Although, you know, you were right about, like, the whole, like, the victim thing. Maybe you're not the queen. I automatically thought about it being the queen because that's how I think.
Right.
But what if you're not? You know, what if, like you said, like, somehow, you know, what if there's, like, an off with her head moment, you know, so to speak? And you get sent to the dungeon, and then once you're down there, like, you get to explore, and then you get to escape. Like, that totally makes more sense.
Right,
you're totally right. Instead of being the queen, it makes more sense that you just happen to get to explore her, like, thing, and then you get to escape, and you would escape through the woods.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's your way out, and then that's the only way out is through the woods. And right away, I mean, obviously, you got these trees, which are pretty horrifying coming at you. And I think it would be kind of cool. It's got to be a stormy night. It literally needs to be the same exact time, is my thought, that Snow White is trying to run through. What is the official name of this forest, by the way? I couldn't find the name. I always call it the Creepy Forest, but some people call it the Haunted Forest, the Enchanted Forest.
It's the Enchanted Forest.
The Enchanted Forest.
Yes, it is the Enchanted Forest. So, it was just, and it's not actually haunted, and it's not actually creepy. That was all in her mind because she was so scared.
Right. I got that. But I was looking it up earlier, actually, to say what the official name was, and I've heard all these random things, but so here's my thoughts, right? So this is going to conflict with what you just said, though. So
that's all right.
About this being in our head, is that, you know, you're running through, not running, you can't run.
Yeah, there's no running in walkthroughs, people.
So anyways, you're going through, and you're seeing all this scary stuff, and it's all the strobe lights, it's flashing, and stuff's, you know, some are moving at you. And in the middle of it, frantically, Snow White is running the opposite way. Because this is the moment in Snow White where she's running through the forest.
And, that'd be cool.
And she's like, almost knocks you over or something. I don't know.
That would be cool. I think that'd be neat.
Yeah, or you can even get a little crazy with it where, like, something like, stunt performer, like a tree would, like, pick her up and toss her like over your head.
Yeah. The other thing is that you could do, like, farther away, you know, on, like, the other side of the trees or whatnot. You could do a silhouette, but every time the lightning went off, you saw it in a different spot.
Oh, yeah. So you could see.
So it's like movement. She's running through the woods, but it's so quick that you're like, did I just see that?
Right, it's not like a focal point. It's you gotta spot it, and you could sense it.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
So so you're getting through the forest, and you know you're almost out. What's our grand finale here? Like, well,
How do we end it?
Yeah, it's got to be something with the boulder folding death, right?
I hate that stupid boulder. yeah, I mean, just for visuals, like if I was really going to do this just for visuals, I would want people to exit through the dwarf's mine, because it would be really pretty to build and it would look really cool. Mm-hmm. And since they are on a hill and like to fall off, you know, it would work that hill is where the mine is. And like, you could do that kind of thing. It's just like how to do it. Is it possible to do like the Indiana Jones style boulder if you're walking? would that work?
theoretically not. And in case some East Coast people don't know what you're talking about, it's from the Disneyland ride where it looks like the boulder's coming at you. So
it's a cool effect.
The illusion that's happening is that a boulder is rolling towards you. But what's actually happening is that you are moving towards it. So in the ride vehicle. So I don't think that would work with walking.
Yeah, fine. I guess that wouldn't work. Maybe it could be some kind of animatronic / projection type thing. You know what I mean? Where it looks like the boulder is going to fall on you and like you have to get out. Like you have to go through where the boulder's going to fall. And it really looks like if Everest worked right.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how the Yeti is supposed to look, like he's like swiping down at you.
Right.
Like maybe we could do something along those lines.
Which is interesting because that'd probably hold up the line.
Well, yeah, but like think about haunted houses where like the finale is like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, and nobody wants to go through there because they know they're about to get chased with a chainsaw.
Right,
but
right.
You just gotta suck it up and do it anyway.
Because you're gonna roll the boulder.
There's always a backup there. And that'd be cool.
Yeah, so
I'm sure the Imagineers could come up with some way to make you think a boulder was about to fall on you.
All right. We don't need it. We're not coming up with technology here. We're just designing. That's their job.
That's not my job. Yeah. No. It's above my pay grade.
That's their job. All right. So I feel like we have a solid Snow White, you know, haunted house walkthrough attraction. Well, what should we call it? Because I was kind of going to escape from the Queen's Dungeon, but now that we have the forest involved too.
Well, but we're still escaping.
Right. Escape from the Evil Queen.
Something like that, yeah. I don't know.
And actually, I feel like when that point where you're off with the head moment where you're intruders and she finds you, that, I mean, that's a live actor there too.
Definitely. Yeah, you'd have to have someone like in the throne
just to really feel. And you know, I feel like the way this works is that there's small groups. It's not like a endless conga line.
No, it would definitely be like one boatload at a time.
Yeah.
You know, one boat and it goes down, and then by the time the boat picks up the other people and they're going through, then those people are in the forest, you know, type of like.
Yeah. Thing. All right. So before we wrap this portion up, like, where are we going to put this? Like, what?
Who cares?
What park? You're like, who cares?
I'll build it down the middle of Main Street, okay? You have to go through it to get into the park.
Wow. Wow, you thought there was congestion there now.
You have no other choice. You have to go through it. It's literally in the middle of Main Street.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
That's a really good question, James.
Well, I mean, should it even be in Disneyland? Because it's so similar to Snow White's Scary Adventures.
I don't know.
I feel like it should be at Walt Disney World, right?
Yeah. Okay. And there's way more room there.
Yeah. You got the room.
But it's on Discovery Island.
I was like, even in Fantasyland, like, you know, I know you haven't been since New Fantasyland opened, but there's just this huge open space between where New Fantasyland starts and where the carousel is.
Uh-huh.
There's tons of room in there. Just build it from there. Like, build it from the ground up. Put some trailers in there. I don't know. Whatever. You could use the water, like, to build the water scenes from the actual water around Cinderella Castle. You know, like.
Yeah, we'll just reroute it from Small World.
Yeah, well, there it is. It's right. Yeah, and Small World's right there.
There we go. It'll be a Small World overlay. Okay, all that stuff's gonna come out.
Wow. Perfect. Wow, that's actually a great idea. I like that.
Yeah. It'll be perfect.
Especially since I feel, you know, and this may be controversial or not. I don't know, but. I don't know. You know, whenever there's attractions that are at both coasts, I always tend to lean towards the Disneyland one, and Small World's no exception, just basically because you load inside, and mm-hmm. that just takes it away from me. I don't know why. like loading outside of Small World, like, it's like, and then you're like, oh, now I'm entering into this world, for lack of a better
word. Totally.
As opposed to, oh, it's just another dark ride.
Well, California's is just prettier. I mean, there's just, it's more impressive. It's prettier. It's done, you know, the facade, the outside, yeah. And all. It's just better. Like, there are, you know, that there are a lot of things at Walt Disney World that I do like as much, if not more, but Small World, Disneyland is just better.
All right.
Especially Christmas. Come on.
Well, there's that. And I like the Disney characters in there, too. And I like how we're comparing Small Worlds now on this Snow White.
Right? Okay. So, back to Snow White. All right. So, we've got our walkthrough.
All right. We have that. So, now
you have paid the ridiculous price of $60 for a ticketed event in Disneyland. Or at Magic Kingdom. We've got our walkthrough.
Yeah, this is the only thing that's open. $60. No. And Haunted Mansion. That's open too. But yeah, no, I figured we need to have some Snow White signature items. It's food items that are only available at this event. Before we get to that, of course, you can have your photo op with all seven dwarves, because that's only at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party right now. But, you know, we'll have it at this.
Yep, for sure. And Snow White, right? You can have your picture taken with Snow White. You got to put her out there or people will be upset.
Yeah, sure. Like, fine.
But we have an Evil Queen photo op. And, like, a good one. Like, you know how at, I don't know if they do it anymore for the Not So Scary Party there, but as you're going from Fantasyland over towards like where the Haunted Mansion is, there's like this little area, and they used to have like Cinderella's coach right there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not believe that's there, because I'm almost positive that the area you're referring to is now the Tangled bathrooms area.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, that's fine. Okay. But yeah, over there, they used to have Cinderella's coach. And like during the Halloween party, you could actually go up and have your picture taken in front of it. And it was really pretty and blah, 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 blah. But I'd want to do something like that with Evil Queen. I'd want to give her like a setup, like a dungeon or her throne room or something that you could go and get your picture taken in. It would look awesome.
It's got to be a magic mirror photo op.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
How about like... like you're in the magic mirror.
You're the magic mirror.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it's...
Oh, no, you know what would be neat? Make it two separate things. Make it like you've got your character meet and greets, right? And photo ops.
Right.
But then you've also got like an interactive one where it's, you know, like three different scenes or something like that. And one of them is like, you can fake put yourself in the chains and be like the skeleton in the dungeon.
Right.
And one of them is like, you can stand behind the magic mirror and you can be the magic mirror. And then like another one, you can like get in the boat or whatever, you know, it doesn't go anywhere.
Right. It's all stationary. Kind of like the temporary 60th anniversary photo ops that were all over the park.
Yeah. Or like the 50th ones. You didn't get to see the 50th ones, did you?
I did not.
No, those were really cool. But like for the 50th, next to Peter Pan, they had a ship that you could get in and take a picture.
Huh.
Yeah. They had a pirate ship that was right there. It was all gold. And like, you get in and take a picture. And like the teacup, you know, was also gold. And so, and like Dumbo was also gold. You could have like those type of things.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So those are kind of like, not really like photo ops. Like they're kind of. Like, those aren't with characters, the ones you're describing. They're just kind of there, and you can just...
Yeah. No, those would just be there, and you could just do those on your own. And then there would be the character meet and greet
photo ops. Right, so that's...
Separately.
Gotcha.
I want people to have a lot to do.
I'm glad you want to have their money's worth.
I do. I really do. Oh, well, there's got to be some kind of stage show.
Yeah, besides this... meet and greet with the Seven Dwarves, we have completely left them out of this entire experience.
Yeah, we have.
So maybe they have to have the stage show.
I suppose we could have a Seven Dwarves stage show.
I don't know. It's scary.
Thinking about it, it's not scary at all. We could have. Okay, here's. Okay, I got it. The stage show opens. Okay, it's got a male narrator. All right. And it's the Huntsman. Mm. And he comes out and he's telling you about like working for the Evil Queen and like stuff like that, right? And then he's like, yeah, and she's really mad because I didn't kill Snow White for her, so I'm in big trouble. And now I have to make it up to her. And then he murders the Seven Dwarfs.
Well, I didn't see that coming. Just the slaughtering, and they're just like, oh, they're trying to run away, and they're tumbling over each other
in several different ways, you know, like they have all these, like, it's really creative. My party's obviously for grown-ups, not children.
Yeah, we haven't really crossed the line before that point, and I like where you're going though. That's fine. I didn't put any limitations on this event.
I know. I'm voting for a stage show. I want it to be a musical, and I need the Huntsman to narrate it because he hasn't had anything going on. Like the Sanderson sisters.
Oh, okay. So,
I think.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of – I mean, that show is basically the same show was before, which was Villains Unleashed or whatever it was called. It's just they're the host. So they're on, they come out first and then they're on stage talking.
I got it. It's a dinner party. will pull from Villains Unleashed. It's dinner party at the Evil Queen's, and like she's getting ready for dinner. It doesn't have to be a musical, but she's getting ready like for a dinner party, and all of the other villains like show up.
Oh, that's good. Like, all right, yeah.
Hilarity ensues. You know, whatever. Because you murder the seven dwarves.
And the climax of dinner is that they murder the seven dwarves.
Yeah, and like the huntsman brings the big platter out, like, you know, and takes the top off it, and it's like Dopey's head.
The actual desserts that they serve are actually like cake versions of their corpses.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. There's like a dwarf laying on the table, and like they take a knife and cut into it. It's a cake. I'm like, no.
a lot of dwarf hating going on here, but
I don't know. Maybe Grumpy could hang out because, you know, he's cranky. So at least he'd fit in a little bit.
I guess he's also described by Walt Disney himself in the weird Snow White trailer. I don't know. Have you ever seen the Snow White trailer?
No.
So the trailer that they actually was in theaters before Snow White came out was Walt Disney describing the film, not like a trailer of like the movie.
From the World of Disney, right? From the TV show? Like from the Wonderful World of Disney? He's walking like in front of the in like the workshop thing. That is not the right word.
Oh, I know what you're saying. No, that's not what I'm describing. He's sitting at his desk and he's got like toys that are the dwarves are like 3 or 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes through individually and says who they are. That this is the trailer, because clearly when they're making the movie, and also clearly from watching the movie, they thought the seven dwarves were, you know, the stars of the movie, because the whole scenes with the dwarves are so long and so
right.
I mean, they're the bulk of the movie, in all honesty. but so he goes, through and says, "All right, and this is Doc. He's the leader." And blah, blah, blah. That's a good Walt Disney I'm doing there, and but anyways, when he describes who Grumpy is, he says, "And this is Grumpy, the woman hater."
Ah,
that's how he describes Grumpy.
Grumpy's going in the dungeon. One of those skeletons is obviously a dwarf skeleton because Grumpy's going in the dungeon. So we don't like misogynistic pigs around here.
Dwarves, okay? They're not pigs, they're dwarves.
Whatever. No, I do think I know what you're talking about, though. And I think it was for Wonderful World of Disney or whatever that show was.
No, that's what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Where they would walk. I don't think Wonderful World of Disney wasn't on when Snow White came out.
No, but it was. Wasn't there a show? It was like, oh, no, I guess not, because Snow White was so early. That's right.
Yeah, Wonderful World of Disney kind of was paralleled with Disneyland opening up, because that was part of their deal to build Disneyland, because he'd do a TV show for ABC. So that was like almost 20 years before for all that went down.
Well, all right then.
I'm not sure what you're thinking of, but I know I've seen this trailer many times. Like, that is definitely a trailer. I don't know if it was the only trailer, but that was definitely a trailer that they had, like, because, I don't know, old movies had weird trailers where, Alfred Hitchcock would come out and talk about what the movie was instead of showing scenes. You know, like, we've seen stuff like that. Like, I feel like that was more commonplace. So that's why it was just him, like, all right, I'm just going to talk to you about this.
I'm going to look that up, and I'm going to find it so I can watch it. And then I'm going to figure out what I'm thinking of, and I'm going to send it to you so you can watch it.
All right. And hopefully we'll both figure it out in time to post the links in the show notes for the listeners.
Hopefully. Oh, I know what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of when Walt is walking around talking about the ride.
Oh, okay.
It's one where he's talking about the ride because he's walking through I still can't think of a better word except for workshop, but he's walking through and there's like the little miniatures. Right. You know, the ride carts, and so that's what I'm thinking about. He wasn't talking about the movie; he was talking about the ride.
Okay, is it the Wed the Wed Factory?
So much more sense now.
All right. Which I'm sure all that stuff was fake and not really the workshop. It's all staged.
All right. Food. We need food.
Yeah, you know, you're starving.
I'm obviously starving. I need a poison apple.
Well, right. So I was like, poison apple is for sure. But I was like, it's probably going to be real, real messy. So we got to have a poison apple on a stick.
Yeah, it's got to be on a stick. It's got to be, and I think you should actually offer two kinds, like a caramel apple and a candy apple. You know,
I was thinking cake pop personally.
I didn't even think of that. Cake pops would be good. Well, we can have both.
Okay.
I was thinking like a candy apple. Like you could do. I was actually thinking you could do a green apple and then have the poison. You know, drip stuff in red, and then you could also do a red apple and have it in green. I thought that'd be kind of cool.
Okay, that'll work.
But yeah, basically any kind of apple you can serve. Like,
now, is there anything that's edible that's glow in the dark? Because I want the green to glow in the dark.
I don't think that's toxic,
right?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. Not yet.
Why haven't they come up with that yet? They've come up with so many things.
That's a really, really good question. No, I think we should also serve like apple turnovers or apple pie.
We're getting a little apple crazy there.
But like that's very much associated with the Evil Queen, you know, and it, people that watch Once Upon a Time, Regina. Like every once in a while, she'd be like, I baked this apple turnover for you, you know? And like, she's got an apple tree in her front yard. And like, so
she's got a little bit of an apple fetish going on there.
It's kind of helped like solidify that. But then like, I think we should have rock candy, like the rock candy on the sticks. Mm-hmm. And it can be like, you know, diamonds or jewels or whatever. Ooh, from the diamonds.
Look at you.
From the dwarves' mine.
All right. That was a good one. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
I think gummy, big gummy hearts would be cool.
Gummy hearts. I'm gonna revisit the heart thing in a minute.
Okay.
I have a different idea for the heart.
But it'd be cool if you know how, remember how you used to go to Ariel's Grotto and stuff like that, and it was your birthday, they'd bring out the thing, and it was in, like, a little plastic, treasure chest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the cake was in the little treasure chest. It'd be cool if, like, it was a little plastic box and came with, like, a gummy heart in it, or, like, little gummy hearts or whatever, you know?
Right. Well, my idea was – I'm gonna chime in with my idea with the hearts. I don't know – I haven't decided what exactly the heart is, but whatever it is, it was a chocolate-covered heart in a box.
Ooh, nice.
And maybe, I don't know what it's covering, but I didn't get that far. But what I really thought about was that the box itself would not be a cheap little plastic thing, but a really elaborate, you know, velvet box that you would want to keep. You open it up, and there's a chocolate heart in there.
I like it. Well, but... If our event is going to be kid friendly, I would say we should have both. You know, because obviously the nice box with the nice chocolate heart is going to be expensive,
right?
And like, not everybody can afford that. So maybe like you can get the really nice one, or you can just get the little cheapy one.
Listen,
I'm trying to make everyone happy.
I guess, but I'm like, if you. If you're there,
you just spent like $75 on a taking an event. Okay. Like,
well, here's the thing. We put this at Walt Disney World.
Uh huh.
And it's a little bit different to go to the hard ticket events at Walt Disney World than it is at Disneyland, from a financial perspective. And I could say this because I did both both. Like, they essentially cost the same, right? But, you know, to pay to go to a hard ticket event at Disneyland when you are an annual pass holder, like, that's a commitment there. Like, that's kind of like, all right. I'm going to bite the bullet. Like, you don't want to have to do that. You really want that to come with your annual pass. You know, but you're like, I'm going to bite the bullet.
Why am I paying $85 to get into this Halloween party?
Right. You know, so you're just like, all right. But, you know, traveling to Walt Disney World, like, you're like, well, it sucks it's not on my multi-day ticket, but you just kind of make it work into your budgeting for your park days. It's just, you know, you're going to have to pay when you go there, so it's not that bad. You know, you can kind of rationalize it, I guess, is kind of what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. And I totally agree, because I've done both, like you have. But I'm just saying that mass producing that nice velvet box that you're talking about with Disney pricing, okay, that thing's going to be like $70.
Oh, wow. You're going, I was at a $35, $40 price point, but you're going, really high.
Yeah, I went really nice with it. My bad. Okay. Well, apparently yours is in the food and concessions, and we'll put mine over in merchandise. Okay. Mine actually comes with like a glass heart in it.
Right.
It's really nice.
Only available at this event, which is a one night only event, by the way. So
totally limited edition. There's only 10 of them in existence. You know, like.
Wow. And it's just only 75. What a bargain.
Well, no, now they're LE10. I was mass producing them because they were a food item, but now they're LE10. Now they're like $250.
Oh, okay, there we go. All right.
No, sorry.
It's all right.
But if you don't have $250, you can buy the LE250 pin of the box if you want to.
The pin?
That's okay.
Only available at this party, limited edition.
There's also an entire line of Blind Box Vinylmations for this event only.
Blind Box? Yeah. Yeah. There's 15 different ones.
Every character in the movie ever mentioned is a Vinylmation. I hope you get them all in this one night.
Yeah, so you're probably going to have to buy at least 7 or 8 of these boxes in order to get all 15. You're gonna have tons of duplicates.
Yeah, that's cool though. You sell them on eBay.
Yeah. Wow. Man. Right. I thought we were trying to help out, you know, people trying to save a buck. You're just trying to extort more money out of them.
Hey, if you have the money to spend, I will take it. Okay. If you don't have the money to spend, I still want you to have a good time.
Wow. That statement. It's like you kind of want to be mad at you, but you can't.
I will take every dime that you have to spend, no matter how much it is.
You're like, I want to be mad, but, you know, it just makes sense.
Right?
I like that you're getting the profits for this event.
I am the evil queen.
I guess so.
I mean.
this whole event has been a sham. For the evil queen to extort money out of tourists.
So back to concessions. We need a drink.
Yeah. We need like something in a goblet, like right? Of course.
Yeah, like a goblet drink that like maybe like has like the dry ice effect or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Definitely has a dry ice.
Yep.
And I want that to be glow in the dark as well.
Okay. That can be glow in the dark.
I don't know if that's safe or not, but
whatever. If they die, at least we have their money first.
That's Disney's motto. Just kidding, guys.
We love you.
We love you.
Also, I think that there should be something like in a cauldron that you can buy, like maybe candy or like saltwater taffy or something like that, but something that like comes in a cauldron. You can buy, because we have to have a cauldron.
Yeah. It's beautiful. How big is the cauldron?
I was thinking like hand size.
Oh, okay.
You know, like it would fit in your palm, and like maybe it's got like, we'll take saltwater taffy for example. Maybe it's got saltwater taffy in it, but the flavors are like, you know, apple, caramel apple, you know, things that kind of go right with the theme.
Actually, wait, so this is what I'm thinking. I think it's gone. I may be mistaken, so forgive me if I am, but there used to be a candy store in downtown Disney, which is now Disney Springs, called Candy Cauldron. And it was based on the witch.
Yeah.
The hag.
That's gone? That's not there anymore?
I don't remember seeing it. That doesn't mean that it's not there. I mean, on my last trip a few months ago. But I just don't remember seeing it. So it might be gone. But anyways, if it's gone, we're bringing it back for one night only.
Yes, we are.
And you get a little cauldron when you go in there. You fill it up with candy, and then we wait on the way out.
Yes, I love that idea. It's perfect.
So that was that. And if it's not gone,
you should go and do that.
It'll be closed for that one night, and we're gonna have a pop-up store right there.
There we go. Perfect. Yeah, okay, well, in that case, if we're going to do it that way, then we can sell, like, four different size cauldrons.
Yeah. How much candy do you want?
Right? Perfect. How much money do you have to spend?
You're such a...
I might do it like the potato heads. Like, here it is, and it's a flat rate.
Oh, you're going like, flat rate, okay.
As much as you can fit.
Wow.
I always hated that, potato heads.
But I feel like we're gonna lose money on that one for sure, right? As much as you can fit, because all the candy weighs different, and you know.
All right, fine. We'll do the weight.
Let's do the weight. Come on, we're trying to make a buck. All here. Right.
Man, I was gonna charge like $50 for the biggest cauldron.
$50. Well, to be fair, everyone's paying this $85 price tag to go to Mickey's Not
Oh,
so
no,
scary.
Now it's $95.
Huh?
$95 to get into
$95.
This.
Whatever.
I don't know if you noticed, but the price of my ticket at events keeps climbing.
Okay. No, I'm saying, I noticed yours. No, I meant the actual Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. All these people are going to the event and essentially standing in line to get quote unquote free candy. But myself included, I'm not going to lie. But,
right?
But essentially, you're paid like $100 for all this candy, because there's people that's almost just what they do, is they keep going through all these lines to get, you know, to go trick or treating, you know, and you're like, so it's kind of the same concept, right? What you're saying, right? Where it's like, if they'll
also, okay, $50 might sound like a lot for a cauldron of candy, but think about the times that you've gone into those candy stores. And, like, you fill the little bags and stuff like that. And then you get up there and they weigh it. And they're like, that'll be $35. And you're like, what? What? $35? And you look and you're like, oh, man, I guess I did get a little carried away on the Swedish fish. You know, like, it happens.
Right.
So, those things are expensive. Like,
yeah. So, I guess it's possible that you could spend $50. We get this awesome cauldron too, so
yeah. See, and that's the thing, people, those are the people that are going to want the bigger cauldron, like, you know, they might want to go home and cast spells or something.
Well, okay, well, they'll have to get through all their candy first, but the candy cauldron. So yeah, I feel like I should know whether that place is closed or not. I feel really like I failed everyone listening. So I will go to the Googles. We'll find out. Does the candy cauldron still exist?
I'm trying to think of more food.
I think we're pretty good on the food. It looks like the candy cauldron has survived the switch over to Disney Springs.
Cool.
The candy cauldron lives.
Yay! Okay, well, we're closing it down.
We're closing it down.
For one night for this party.
I don't know why I don't remember seeing it. Oh, well. They also, a candy cauldron is also where they do their apples, which are kind of actually literally what we were talking about selling.
Yay. James, we're going to have to go there together. You know that, right?
Well, I think Candy Cauldron will definitely be a stop on the Creepy Kingdom Halloween Extravaganza Tour.
Yay!
Orlando. I haven't got to come up with a better name than that.
All right, stick with that for now. All right, well...
I think we're good on the food items, unless you have like a whole other slew of things, you know, in the back of your head that you just...
It's getting late, so like now I can't think of any, but I'm sure that like as I'm trying to fall asleep tonight, I'll come up with like a billion more Snow White references. Food form.
Well, if you do, we'll share them on in the Facebook group, The Citizens of the Creepy Kingdom.
You should join. I mean, not you, but like the people listening to you.
Oh, I thought you were saying I should join. I was like, I'll say
you're. I'm pretty sure you're already a member.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I wasn't sure. Well, I think we're good here. I mean, you've really, one thing about this episode here is that now I know there's a series of books about the Disney villains I didn't know existed.
Right.
Because apparently there's one about Ursula and Beast.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read those ones.
And
Jafar, too, I think.
I didn't see, it's not coming up in the customers also bought list, so I don't know. But what's interesting about these book titles is they're kind of like, I don't know if it's really written that way, but it looks like they're like tell-all bios about the villains. Is that kind of the perspective of it? Like the real story or the unauthorized story? Or
yeah, it's supposed to be like the real story. I've only read the fairest of them all. Or fairest of all. My bad. Yes. My bad.
Fairest of all, A Tale of the Wicked Queen. And Ursula's is called Poor Unfortunate Soul, A Tale of the Sea Witch. And the beast Within, A Tale of Beauty's Prince.
I need that Ursula one. I didn't even know that existed, and I'm going to buy it and read it tomorrow.
All right. Well, you can definitely report back on these books for us. Yeah, very nice. Interesting. But I didn't know about that. But, yeah, so...
I did.
So, in closing, I think that this is a great Snow White Halloween hard ticket event. And
I agree.
I urge Disney to do it. It's just, you know, one night only. I mean, you know, they did Villains Unleashed for one night only.
Yeah. It could be a hard ticket one night only event in the Halloween season. It could also be a hard ticket you know, one night only event in the Halloween season, the Christmas season, the New Year's season, the Valentine's Day season, the Easter season, and the 4th of July season. You know, that could happen.
Yeah. How about the, I think they should do this during Arbor Day. They don't have any.
Oh, I love Arbor Day. Yeah. Yes.
The trees.
Absolutely.
That's the tie-in.
Right?
The forest.
Perfect.
The trees.
Perfect.
All right.
And on that note.
We did it. All right.
Happy 3rd year anniversary, Creepy Kingdom.
3 years. Wow. This is great. Yeah, I'm not really going to reminisce. We did a 100th episode a while ago. We reminisced about everything.
Yep.
But Creepy Kingdom is, you know, still going.
Woohoo!
So before we get out of here, actually, I do want to state, I think we mentioned this on another show. I'm pretty sure we did about... Yeah, I know that we did because we referenced it. But in case you haven't heard of it, that we're in the very, very early planning stages of putting together a group tour of Orlando during Halloween season.
What's the trip called again, James?
Whatever. Every time I mention it, it's going to be something different. The creepiest, creepitastic tour of Orlando during Halloween time ever.
We'll come up with a better name, you guys. We promise.
But anyways, I wanted to bring this up because just the idea about it was, I was in Orlando for Halloween time for working on Foolish Mortals. And when I had some moments, I squeeze in some time to do a lot of fun activities. And a lot of those things I did by myself. And a lot of times I was thinking, like, this would be so much fun if, like all my Creepy Kingdom co-host and some of the listeners I've met, we could just all do this together. And then I'm like, you know what? That's it. Like, why not? I want to do it. I brought it up to Roxy, and Roxy was like, yes.
I'm there.
A few people have chimed in after hearing us say it and said that they're interested. So I'm putting this out there on the show right now. I mean, it's a year away, but I just want to put this out there on the show right now and say, if anybody is interested at all, just, you know, definitely reach out at us, creepykingdom@gmail.com, because I want to just kind of get a feel of what people are interested in doing, and I'm going to try to collaborate with, like, a travel agency and just get this thing all going. I feel like it's going to take a year to put this together.
And I do believe that we have a travel agent, don't we, that we could use?
We do.
Didn't we have a travel agent on the show? And she said if we needed her, then she'd be happy to help. I know we did. I have to go back.
We have a travel agent on the show?
I'm positive we have. Now you're going to make me think. All right, I'll figure it out. Anyways, if you don't want to email us for whatever reason because you live on Facebook, make sure that you look up the Citizens of the Creepy Kingdom group that we have and tell us there if you want to go on this trip with us. And, of course, you can, like, pitch ideas and things we should do, and we want to hear from you.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Roxy, but I'm doubling down on this idea.
Oh?
Yeah, because I want to do this Orlando thing. And the idea of this would be early October.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking I want to do it again in Southern California at the end of October.
I'm pretty sure I can do that.
I'm doubling down on it. I'm like, because there's so many awesome Halloween events in Southern California as well. And I'm like, that might be overkill. I don't know.
You know what, though? October is really your time for overkill.
That's true. That is true.
It's your time to shine, Shane. It's your month. We will follow you.
All right.
To Halloween Horror Nights and beyond.
This episode of Creepy Kingdom is being brought to you by Final Girls. Final Girls celebrates Halloween and horror movies through illustrations, pins, prints, and more, with an emphasis on the women of the genre. It is created by illustrator Amy Connolly from Liverpool, England. Final Girls has an awesome hitchhiking ghost pin set that you just gotta have. Use the coupon code CREEPY to get 10% off of your entire order. Just go to wearefinalgirls.com. That's wearefinalgirls.com. Once again, if you would like to contact us here at the show, you could do so by emailing us, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, links to everything we're talking about, and links to all of our social media and photos of creepy Disney fan art and our blog posts with our photo reports and all that good stuff, just go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
I have had a girl now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams. Ha 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 ha